hearts were in their hands. A decent payment for her sin. Now her life must end. But Jesus said, let he who is innocent cast your stone today. I wasn't there to see her face, but I can almost hear her say, merciful to me when I deserve to die. Merciful to me, my soul. Satan's men were closing in. I knew what was in store. A decent payment for my sin. Eternal fire and more. But Jesus said, I have an announcement I'd like to make today. I have the scars to prove that I have taken this one's place. Merciful to me when I deserve to die. Merciful to me, my soul he brought to life.
Thank you for that song, and thank God for His mercy. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4. That's a fundamental Baptist microphone. It's going to do its own thing. Well, we enjoy being here at Faith Baptist. We love your preacher. He's one of my favorite young preachers.
Amen.
I love preachers that preach. And when you have the opportunity to sit under your preacher's preaching, you go home with something that'll bless your soul. And you're blessed to have him, and I hope you know that. And we thank God for the church and for the opportunity to stand where He stands to preach to His people, God's people, here at Faith Baptist. I'm excited about being here.
Amen.
Let me tell you how excited I am. I feel like a lightning bug with his tail cut off. I'm delighted. Now, if my wife was here, somebody would have to explain that to her. I noticed a couple of you were that way also. Either that or you need to get right and get some joy back in your life. If you called my house and I wasn't there, you'd hear the answering machine say, "Hello, you've reached the Bob Smith residence. I'm not here at the present time. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Leave your merry message and I'll get back with you shortly." We've got too many dry bone Baptists.
That's right.
We need to learn to laugh.
Amen.
You'll live longer. Yes, you'll feel better.
Yep.
Learn to laugh. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to laugh about." Look in the mirror.
That's right. Amen. Good.
I didn't bring my walking stick over. I left it over there. It's a new walking stick that Brother Todd from Clinton, Iowa gave to me, and it won't hang on the pulpit. It falls off. But I do my walking sticks like I did my bird dog. They all have the same name. All my bird dogs, one after the other, was named Jack. And it's easier to them to learn their name than me to reprogram my brain. So all my walking sticks are named Gizmo. A little girl back in April from this church came up to me after the service and said, "Brother Smith, can I pet Gizmo?" And I said, "Of course." And she reached over and petted the handle of my walking stick. You see, I told them when I got tired of walking, I just put it between my leg and rode it as my stick horse. I was down in Waco, Texas, and one of the little kids, six-year-old kid in the church, was riding Gizmo around the foyer. And that night, after church, he was home, Mom and Dad putting him in bed, and he was saying his prayers. He said, "Dear God, bless Mama and Daddy and little brother, and God bless Gizmo." I was down in Lawrence, Kansas, preaching the other day for Brother Hanks, and I was there about 3 months earlier in a revival, and he had me back for a Sunday school clinic, and a group of children came in. One of them said, "Why, hello, Brother Smith. Now I forgot your horse's name." So, we're honored to be here, and thank you so much for being in your place. Summertime's tough. People take vacations, and we understand that. And people also backslide. We don't understand that. But we're honored to be here, and thank you. Long time ago, I learned not to fret over those that were not there, but preach to those that came. Preacher just said, you know, we've got one of our lowest crowds today of all the summer. And I understand that, but I'm sure glad you're here.
Amen.
You say, "Well, what do you do about those that aren't here?" I always tell them when they come back, "Hope you had a good vacation. We had good services. I prayed that God would remove anybody that would hinder the services." Have you found your place in Acts chapter 4? Out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me if you're able to stand as I begin to read in verse number 1? Acts chapter 4, and we'll read through verse 23. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people," that's Peter and John, "the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's Peter and John, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name," the name of Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. For our message this morning, I want you to notice the first part of verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where do you go when you're let go? Being let go, they went to their own company. Heavenly Father, help me this morning to take this thought, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you drive it to the heart of every individual here and help us settle forever just who is our company. Speak to our hearts. I do not know these people. They've been very kind and gracious, making me feel welcome. But I don't know their heart. I don't know the saved from the unsaved. I don't know those who are right from those who might not be right or may be wrong. I don't know those who are walking with you, and those are those who have a secret life out in the world. But you know more about us than we know about ourselves. There's not one person here that's a stranger to you. You know who we are and what we are, and you know what we need. I'm asking you this morning, dear Father, would you speak to our hearts and let us settle forever just who our company really is today. Who do we run with? Who are we? What are we? How are we standing in your sight today? And fill me with thy spirit. I do not ask for the ability to preach a great message, but I do ask for the ability to make it plain and easy to understand so that the least boy or girl can know exactly what's being said and make the decision that you would have them to make. Now, Lord, there's some saved people here today and there's some unsaved people. There's people who are right and people who are wrong. People who are living for you and people who are living a secret life, a double life. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, do a work in our hearts tonight, today. Save every unsaved person on their way to hell today in this congregation. And I'll thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In order to understand the 23 verses that we've read this morning, it's also important to go back and understand the context and understand chapter 3 of the book of Acts also. You see, in chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. They're approaching the gate beautiful, or the beautiful gate. And there by the gate beautiful is a man lame. He had been lame for more than 40 years. He had never walked, never taken a step. There he's asking for alms of the people coming in to pray. And as Peter and John, these two Baptist preachers, approach, he says, "Alms, alms, give me alms." And Peter said, "Silver and gold have we none." I told you they were Baptist preachers. "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And he reached down and took him by the hand. And for the first time, this man stood up. He was so excited about being able to walk. He began to walk and then leap, the Bible says, and began to run and praising God for what God had done for him. Everybody knew him. He had been there at that beautiful gate for years begging, and now he's running and praising God, and people began to gather. A big crowd gathered as this man ran with excitement, praising God. Hey, by the way, if you'd get excited about what Christ's done in your life, you'd be surprised who would come to see what's happened to you. You want to see this church full? Get excited about what Christ has done for you. We get saved and never tell anyone. We get saved and never have a holy grunt. This man was excited about God healing him. And the crowds began to gather. And they began to gather. And they began to gather. And I can think old Peter looked at John. Peter said, "John, believe him, won't have to say a word or two." And he preached a simple message on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And 5,000 men got saved. Well, needless to say, the Sadducees and the Pharisees didn't like it, because they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And that was the difference between the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Sadducees didn't. That's the reason they were sad, you see. So they took Peter and John and they put them in jail, put them in hold. Conferred among themselves what to do with them. Brought them out and threatened them. And told them never again to preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter told them that Jesus was the one they had taken and crucified, and buried, and He arose again. And neither is there salvation in any other, For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. They threatened them, put them in hold overnight. The next day they told them never to speak or teach again in Jesus' name. Peter said, we cannot but speak and teach that which we have seen and heard. And then the Bible says, they let them go. And they returned to their own company. They went back to God's people. They went back to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and told them all that happened. And I want us to look at that for a moment for our message today. And being let go, they went to their own company. My message is very simple this morning. Just three simple points. Where do you go when you're let go? I want you to think about it. You say, what do you mean? I mean, when you're away from church, when you're away from your parents, when you're away from your spouse, when you're out of town or on vacation, out of sight of those who know you, where do you go? How do you act? You see, there is in me and you, the me and you that everyone sees and thinks we are. And then there's the real you and me that I know I am and God knows I am. Three simple points. Point number one, when we're let go in this life, we go to our own company. The old saying is true, birds of a feather flock together. Turkeys never soar with eagles. Robins don't fly with blue jays. Blackbirds don't fly with geese. And so it is with us. We seek out those of our own kind, our own nature. The people you associate with, those you run with, tell others what kind of a person you really are. You're running with them, associating with them for a reason. They're your kind. Beware, Mom and Daddy. You say, I don't understand. Little Jimmy or Jane, they say they're saved, but they don't want to come to church. They say they just don't feel comfortable down here, but they feel comfortable at the dance hall.
Right.
At the bar. You know why? Being let go, they return to their own company. Where do you go when you're let go in this life? I've had ladies say, my husband says he's saved, but I can't get him to go to church. Mm-hmm. He goes to the ball games.
Right.
He goes hunting, fishing. He says he can't stand crowds, but the crowd at the ball game doesn't bother him. I'll tell you what the problem is. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. Little Jimmy and Jane may have the right kind of haircut and wear the proper clothing, but if they run with that crowd, they have their nature. They have their heart. And if you're not careful, it'll be a short time until they'll have their habits and their lifestyle. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. Have you ever noticed that the dopeheads always find each other? Driving into Bourbonnais yesterday, I didn't see a sign anywhere that said, all dopers meet here. All sodomites meet over here. All perverts meet over here. Not one sign. Drunkards meet over here. But I guarantee you, when they come into this city, they know exactly where to go. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. Where do you go when you're let go? There's a great need of knowing just who is our company. And by the way, you boil it all down, there's just two groups. The saved group and the lost group. those going to heaven and those going to hell. Which group are you in? It'll be a great day in your life when you're honest about who you are and what you are. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. This principle is true in our spiritual life as well. Being let go, we seek out our own kind. Have you ever noticed carnal Christians seek out their own kind? Carnal Christians aren't looking for Spirit-filled Christians to run with. They want the carnal Christian. We have families come into our church, moving from across the country and coming from another Baptist church. And I always want to watch their children and watch them to see who they begin to gravitate to. Because being let go in this life, we return to our own company. Have you ever noticed gossiping Christians always know who to go to? Had a lady call me one time and say, "Brother Smith, Miss So-and-so called me and she kept me on the phone for an hour gossiping about everybody in the church." She said, "But I didn't gossip." I said, "Did it ever occur to you she knew who to call?" You may not have a gossip's tongue, but you had a gossip's heart and a gossip's ear, or you'd have put a stop to it quick.
Amen.
Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. The critical Christian, the negative Christian, always finds those who are negative and critical to go to. Beware of who you run with. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. That's why many stay in cold, dead, modernist churches. It's their own kind. It fits their nature. Spiritual Christians will find their own company and become a part of a Bible-believing spiritual church because that's their kind. Young people who are spiritual we want to find other spiritual young people to fellowship with. Because being let go in this life, we return to our own company. I ask you again, where do you go when you're let go? Second point. When we're let go out of this life, we'll return to our own company. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean when you die. Why, there's not one chance in 20 trillion that you can live an unsaved person's life and die and go to heaven. I'm amazed at people. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. But let me tell you, not everybody is going to heaven. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Let me, my dear friend, being let go out of this life, when you die, you'll return to your own kind. You choose the company you keep here in this life, and you'll also choose the company you keep for eternity. Both choices are made right here in this life. No second chances after you die. Where will you spend eternity when you're let go out of this life? Have you settled that? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Can you look back and remember getting born again? My salvation experience is more real to me than my physical birth. My salvation birth is more real than my physical birth. I got to be honest, I don't remember getting born physically. Nor was Mama told me I was. But I don't remember it. You'd think you should. You came out of that dark, quiet place, and I was born in July in Texas. I came out of that dark, warm place into a bright, hot place. But I don't remember it. They told me the first thing that happened to me, I got a spanking. But I don't remember it. I tell you this, too. They told me I was born naked. You'd think you'd remember that, but I don't. Let me tell you, in August 1954, I heard the gospel preached and God got a hold of my heart and convicted me that I was lost and on my way to hell. I sat in the back of that little auditorium and what seemed like the 23rd verse of Just As I Am. I said, Lord, I know You're waiting on me. If they'll sing one more verse, I'll come. Preacher said, I just feel like we need to sing one more verse. And down the aisle I came. 1 month into my 15th year, I was a 14-year-old rebel, living for the world, living for myself, living and running with a different crowd, a different company. The preacher said, why are you coming? I said, I need to be saved. He said, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I said, the best I know how, I accept Him as my Savior. And I bowed and prayed some simple little old prayer, asking Him to save me. You know what He did? He saved me. Now for all these years, I've been a child of God. He changed my life, changed my eternal destiny. He's given me a life worth living here with a future to look forward to in heaven. Being let go out of this life, we'll return to our own company. Where will you go when you're let go out of this life? You better think about it now. No chance to get it right after you die. One cannot choose their earthly parents, but you can sure choose where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
You must be born again. Now, Jesus illustrates this point very clearly in Luke chapter 16. In verse 22, a poor man named Lazarus somewhere had chosen Christ as his Savior. We don't know how. We don't know who told him. We don't know how he got saved. But the Bible says he died and was ushered by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's another term for heaven. Now, you say, how you know he got saved? Because you don't go to heaven because you're poor. And you don't go to hell because you're rich. You've got to be saved. Somewhere, somebody told that old beggar about Jesus and he accepted Christ as his Savior, and when he was let go out of this life, he went to his own company. He was ushered into the presence of God in heaven. In verse 22 through 24, the rich man had everything he wanted, had money to buy anything he wanted. He lived for himself. He lived for financial gain. He lived for fun. But he had no time for God and thought he had no need for God. I guarantee you that rich man never thought he'd been a place where money couldn't buy his way out. But he died. He was let go out of this life. And the Bible says in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. He had no choice then. Decision time is now. And I say again, too many are trying to live the lost man's life and hope they'll still go to heaven. No, you've got to be born again. You need more than a change in habits, a change of your mind. You need a new nature, a new heart, and a new life. And that only comes about by the new birth. You must be born again. I'm about to make a profound statement. Listen carefully. Pigs can't help acting like pigs. And lambs can't help acting like lambs. Two different natures. Two different natures. Now think with me for just a moment. You take a little bitty piglet that's just born. It's never nursed from mother. And you take that little piglet away from the hog pen and away from the other pigs, and you never one time ever call it a pig. You call it a lamb. And you glue wool all over its body. And that little pig that looks like a lamb runs around in the house, and you call it a lamb, and you pet it as a lamb, and you feed it like a lamb. One day it grows up. You let it go outside. A little pig that looks like a lamb walks outside on the porch, and he looks over here, and he sees a bunch of creatures out here that looks like him. White. Eating grass out in the pasture. And he says, And he looks over here, smells something. Looks over here this direction, and here's a bunch of funny-looking things grunting and oinking and rooting around, wallowing in a hog mire and hog pen, and eating slop. And he says, you know, that looks pretty good. And he's got to make a decision. What's he going to do? Is he going out here with the lambs? He kind of looks like them. But boy, this really looks good over here. And a pig can't help acting like a pig. He makes a decision and he runs and jumps right into the middle of that hog pen and that walla. Because no matter what they called him, he was a pig. And he had a pig nature. Did you know for a pig to become a lamb, it would take a miracle?
That's right.
And for a sinner to become a child of God, it takes a miracle. And that miracle's called the new birth. It's getting saved, getting born again. Have you ever been born again? Have you experienced that new birth? All over this world, men and women are living in spiritual ignorance. Most worship something, but they know nothing about Jesus. And here in America, we're becoming more and more pagan, more and more like they are. More and more people are skipping church and thinking they don't need God and they don't need church and they don't need Bible preaching. But let me tell you, dear friends, one of these days, you're going to be let go out of this life. And where are you going to go when you're let go out of this life? And that's my third point. Where will you go when you're let go? Have you experienced that miracle change? Have you experienced that new birth? Have you been born again? Well, don't tell me you're saved if you can't remember getting saved. It's not something that you grew into. It took place in a moment. It took place when as a sinner you realized you're a sinner and unsaved and you put your trust in Jesus. He saved you and He performed that miracle birth called the new birth when you accepted Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you, there's no new nature without the new birth. There's no heaven without the new birth. When saved, you'll be as out of place in the world as a lamb is in a hog pen. I'm amazed at the people who think they can ignore God and live like the devil's crowd down here and still be ready for heaven when they die. Being let go, we return to our own company. I simply want to say to you, if you're going to heaven when you die, you'd better get into the heaven-bound crowd now. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know that you've been born again? Can you look back and remember accepting Christ as your Savior? You say, preacher, I don't know the date. Well, that's not important. What is important that you remember the experience when you ask Jesus to become your Savior. Being let go in this life, we return to our own company. Being let go out of this life, we'll go to our own company. And where will you go when you're let go? Father, that's our message. Very simple. Plain down to earth. Now let us look into our own heart and our own life and answer that question. Do I know that I'm saved? Can I look back and remember accepting Jesus as Savior? Help us not understand it's not something we get by osmosis. It's a personal, definite, individual decision we make to invite Jesus into our heart and life as our Savior. Now, Lord, You know us. You know every person here. You know those that are saved and those that are not saved. You know those who are right and those that are not right. And I'm asking You to do a work in our heart and help us to settle forever the fact that we're saved or we're not saved. If we're saved, let us rejoice in it and be glad. If we're not saved, let us get it settled this morning, lest we face eternity without God and without hope. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder how many of you, when I went back and recalled when I got saved, looked back and remembered when you got saved. And you say this morning with 100% certainty, preacher, I know that I know that I know I'm saved. Well, if I should be let go out of this life right now, I know it'd be all right. I'd go to heaven because I've been born again. I've been saved. If you can say that with certainty, would you slip your hand up and give testimony of it? Preacher, I'm saved and I know it, and I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. All over this building, hands are lifted. Isn't it wonderful to know heaven is your home and Jesus is your Savior? Thank you. You can put your hands down. While most everybody could raise their hands, I saw a couple that couldn't. Dear sir, you couldn't raise your hands. Lady, you couldn't raise yours. Young person, you couldn't raise yours. I don't believe there's a person here that wants to go to hell. I don't believe you want to miss heaven, but you just couldn't raise your hand and say, I'm saved. Thank you for being honest. Does no good to pretend when God knows the truth. Would you let me pray for you? I'll make you this promise. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I simply want to pray that you too can be saved and know it before you face eternity. So that I'll know for whom I'm praying and you'll know I'm praying for you, would you slip your hand up and without saying a word, your hand will speak for you. Lifted hand would say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I'm saved. But if it's possible to know, I'd like to know. Would you slip that hand up right now? I'll see it and you can take it right back down. Anyone like that? Preacher, I just don't know for sure. Pray for me. Anyone, anywhere? Father, thank You that these dear folks could raise their hand and say, I know that I'm saved. And I don't know for what reason some didn't raise their hand and wouldn't raise their hand, but I'm going to pray for them anyway. God, I'm asking You to save their soul. Help them to understand that my prayer can't save them. But I'm praying for them in this manner. Would You give them faith and courage enough to come and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior? While heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here that would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. It's the Bible thing to do. But I haven't been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. I need to do this. Would you slip your hand up and indicate, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else, preacher? I've been saved, but I've not been baptized after I got saved. Anyone? Heavenly Father, I come to you in behalf of these two that raised their hand. They said, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized afterwards. I know it's the right thing to do. Now help them, Heavenly Father, not to put it off, not to make excuses. They could do it this morning. This church has everything they need to get baptized. They have garments to wear and towels and everything. There's nothing keeping them from obeying you except their unwillingness to do so. Now, I'm praying for you. I believe they want to obey you. They raised their hand for prayer. They were honest and sincere about this matter. Give them courage to come and present themselves this morning as candidates for baptism. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here that would say, preacher, I need a church home. I'm saved, but I don't have a place where I can call my church my home. I need a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church home. Pray for me that I might know God's will about this matter. Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up and I'll include you in prayer. Now, Father, we've asked the questions, we've preached the message, and now we come to this invitation. Thank you that most everyone here could say, I'm saved and I know it. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. And thank you for these two that are newly saved that have not yet been baptized. Let them get that settled today. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. And as we stand, the piano and organ shall begin to play an invitation home song. And on the first word of the first verse, you need to come. Would you come right now? You need to present yourself a candidate for baptism. Step out and come, and there's someone here to meet you. Maybe you're here and you need to get saved. God bless you, buddy. You're doing right. Thank you. Maybe you need to come and use an old-fashioned altar. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. Come on. How about you, dear? Why don't you come on? You want to. The old devil will give you excuses as long as you use them. Just say yes and come. That's right. That's right. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening this morning, preacher.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. When you're let go, where you go? Who's your company? Who's your crowd? Enjoy the things of God. Are you drawn to the things of God? That's that new nature. That's that divine nature that God gave you when you got saved. If there's no desire, no hunger, no desire for God or want to be with God, you have to ask yourself what in the world's going on. Come and join these this morning that have already prayed. Some are going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's wonderful. Other newly saved people here drawn to church because that's where saved people go. That's company. While we wait this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have time for you. Thank you, ladies. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good thought from your word this morning. I never saw that text in that light before. Lord, I thank you for when you saved me, putting a desire to be with your people in your place and a hunger for you. And I pray, God, that we'll examine our own hearts. That's what you told us to do in 2 Corinthians. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And one of the good tests of knowing that we're saved is who's our company. God bless, I pray, those that were saved, or those that raised their hands and that gave testimony of salvation. I pray that you'd help us, O Lord, to examine our hearts. Where is our company? Thank you for the message this morning for these that have come to follow you in baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.